together. Great truths, Lord, that we've been able to sing in these songs and to be reminded that you are the Lord of hosts, the God who goes before us, that you are the God that we can find rest in. And Father, I pray that as we look at this psalm today and your word, that it would bring encouragement to our hearts and help us, Father, to think about you, to trust in you. And so we commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. I believe most of you know, but there are outlines in your bulletin if you should want to use them. If you didn't get one, you can go back and Glenn will be glad to give you one there. But that might be helpful for you as we go through. So agree or disagree. Life is full of fears and uncertainties. I think most of you would say, indeed. And you probably, if we wanted to have a share time right now, you could say, let me tell you about a few of them that I have. Life is indeed full of fears and uncertainties. And sometimes those fears have a way of paralyzing us, don't they? To where they just entrap us, to where we just don't feel like we can do anything because of those fears and those uncertainties in life. It becomes a controlling influence. Some of you, maybe because you've read history books, not because you're old enough, although maybe you are, but in 1933, President Franklin D. Roosevelt made a famous statement in his inaugural address. You probably have heard it, right? The only thing we have to fear is fear itself. Now, of course, he was trying to encourage a nation that was coming out of the Great Depression and trying to help them to get beyond those fears, but is that really true, that the only fear we have is fear itself? No, we have very real fears and very real uncertainties. And, of course, the world has a lot of advice, doesn't it, as to how to face your fears and to deal with those fears. And this morning, I just want us to acknowledge we don't want to ignore our fears. We don't want to act like they're not real. Some people try to just suppress fears and act as if they're not really there when they really are. But what we want to do is we want to respond to them from a biblical perspective. And so you might say, well, what is that biblical perspective, Ken? And I'm glad you asked, because we're going to look at least one psalm that helps to give us a biblical perspective on responding to the fears and uncertainties in our life. Psalm 27, you can turn there in your Bibles, and we've titled this message, Responding to the Fears and Uncertainties in Life. And just some background, what do we know about Psalm 27? Now, this first one, you're going to say, come on, Ken. It's a psalm, okay? Well, it is. And that's important to understand, because in the Psalms, we see that the Psalms give us permission to stop pretending that everything is okay. When you read through the Psalms, the psalmists are sharing some very life, you know, from the depths of their hearts about life situations that they're facing. And so the Psalms give us permission to stop pretending that everything is okay. And they give us the ability to ask real questions about whether God is enough as we face big problems in our life. This is also a psalm of trust or a psalm of lament. Perhaps you know, maybe you don't, that you know the psalms are classified into different categories. And we have psalms of lament, where the psalmists are crying out to God about desperate situations and asking for God's help. There's also psalms of trust, where the psalmists are giving, just affirming their commitment to God and their acknowledgement that I am going to trust in you. And sometimes they're sort of blended together. And this is one of those psalms that you can read different commentators, and some will say it's a psalm of trust. Some will say, no, it's a psalm of lament. And I just say, yeah, there's both there. Let's look at it and appreciate what we can learn from it. And then it is a psalm of David. The superscription says that it's of David. And I think we can trust that. We don't know when it was written, Some have suggested that it was written when King Saul was chasing after David to take his life before David became king. Some have suggested it was written when Absalom, David's son, was taking over the kingdom and they were after David to get him. Obviously, David had all kinds of different situations. And we'll see from this context that David had many reasons to be fearful and uncertain about what was ahead. But how does he respond? And the question as we go through Psalm 27 is, what can we learn for ourselves from David about how we should respond to the fears and the uncertainties in life? So let me read through Psalm 27 for us. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing have I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. And I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me. You have said, seek my face. My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek. Hide not your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger. O you who have been my help, cast me not off. Forsake me not, O God of my salvation. For my father and my mother have forsaken me, but the Lord will take me in. Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they breathe out violence. I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong, and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. Four responses to my fears and uncertainties. And the first thing I think we see here is that we have to ask. When I am facing fear and uncertainty in my life, I have to ask, what do I believe about God? What do I believe about God? David has plenty of reasons to fear. And we would say, when we read, when we read some of the ones that are mentioned here, we would say, yeah, those are good reasons. His life is on the line. He's being threatened. The adversaries are against him. So what does the psalmist believe about God? What did David believe about God here as he is facing his fear and uncertainty? What does he say? He says, the Lord is my light. He illuminates my way. I don't know where to go. God gives me clarity. He says he's my salvation, that he delivers me. The word salvation, remember, means deliverance. And David is talking here that God is the God who delivers him from the darkness and from the things that he's facing. And then he says that the Lord is the stronghold of my life. He's my place of safety. The enemy's throwing his arsenal against me, but I am safe in God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? And when the psalmist compares his reasons for fear, what he's afraid of, what he's uncertain of, when he compares his reasons for fear to God, what does he conclude? He says, whom shall I fear? He says, of whom shall I be afraid? And of course, those are rhetorical questions, aren't they? They require a response. And so, as listeners and readers today, as David says, the Lord is my light and my salvation, whom shall I fear? And the Lord is the stronghold of my life, of whom shall I be afraid? Our response would be what? No one. Nothing. There's no one I should be afraid of. There's nothing I should be afraid of because the Lord is my light. The Lord is my salvation. The Lord is my stronghold. And notice how he says there, he says, when evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries, my foes, it's they who stumble and fall. He's speaking from experience in the past. And then he says, though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war arise against me, yet I will be confident. David's attitude is, my heart shall not fear, yet I will be confident. In himself? No, not confident in himself. If he was thinking about his own confidence, at some point it would fail and he would be much more fearful. But it's his heart shall not fear. He will be confident in God, who is his light, his salvation, and his stronghold. So I think here's the question that we have to ask as we look at these initial verses here, is the fear or the uncertainty that I am facing today greater than God? Is the fear or the uncertainty I am facing greater than God? Now, if you were to say, yes, it is, then there's a problem, isn't there? But I think we understand, at least from this psalm, the intent is to understand that there's no fear, there's no uncertainty that is greater than God. And so we realize that what I believe about God helps to dispel the fears that I have. That's what the psalmist is implying here in this context. What I believe about God helps to dispel the fear that I have. Am I in a dark situation? Do I need some light? The Lord is my light. Does there seem to be no way out to losing cause? The Lord is my salvation. Are you weak, insecure, threatened? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. I am safe with God, and I can be confident of that. You know, sometimes our understanding of God gets obscured or confused, perhaps, because of our circumstances, because of our fears. And I think this statement is important to think about, that we don't want to view God's character through the lens of my circumstances. Instead, we want to view my circumstances through the lens of God's character. And so as you face fears and uncertainties in your life, are you facing those fears and uncertainty through the lens of who God is in your life? And are you allowing that then to influence, to dispel even the fear that you have because you know who God is, the God who is on your side? So as I face fears and uncertainties in my life, I have to ask, the first thing we need to do is ask, what do I believe about God? Because that will be of help to us as we try to deal with those fears and uncertainties. So as we go to this next section, verses 4 to 6, we might ask the question, well, how can I get to that place where I have that confidence in God? Where I can say like David, whom shall I fear? Whom shall I be afraid of? No one, because God is my light. He's my deliverer. He's my stronghold. And I think this next section, if we struggle with having that kind of confidence, can be of encouragement to us. Because we see here that we need to focus on being present with God. So first we ask the question, what do I believe about God? And then second, we focus on being present with God. Notice how he starts that section, verse 4, "One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in His temple." Do you notice how that starts, that section, verse 4? He says, "One thing have I asked." One thing. So if you think about it this morning, if you had one thing to ask of God, what would you ask for? Well, before we answer that in the wrong way, what was David's one thing that he asked for here? And it wasn't military victory. In this context, it wasn't for God to wipe out his enemies and give him peace. It wasn't for prosperity. It wasn't for wealth. The one thing David wanted was God's presence. He wanted to know God more. Dwelling in the house of the Lord. He wanted to be around God. And someone has made this statement that when I have fears and uncertainties, I don't check out with God, but I check in. Because sometimes we have that tendency when we have fears and uncertainties in our life to run from God, to try to figure it out ourselves and to deal with it, as opposed to coming into the presence of God and just being there with God and allowing God to minister to us. Now, David was, let me just go on right there where it says, how long? He says that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. This was not a quick one-time fix for David where, I'll just go, I'll be in God's presence, I'll leave, everything will be great the rest of my life. No, this is a continuous thing that he knows needs to be happening. Now understand, the house of the Lord there, you know, David very well could be talking about the temple had not been built yet. Be going to the tabernacle, you know, which was the central place of Israel's worship. Some have suggested that it's not like David is saying, I just want to be in the tabernacle every day, 24/7, and not do anything else in life, but just the idea of God's presence, being in God's presence, being in that type of relationship where I know God is there and God is with me. That is what I long for as I face my fears and my uncertainties. And what does he want to do? He says he wants to gaze on the beauty of the Lord. To gaze on the beauty of the Lord. And we think about, well, what's the beauty of the Lord? Debbie played in her offertory this morning the song, "You Are Beautiful Beyond Description." Obviously, we're not talking about physical appearance. God is a spirit. Some would liken it, you know, if you do a study about aesthetics in worship and so on, that, you know, David is in the tabernacle and there were things there in the tabernacle that would have just been beautiful to look at and would have been a reminder of God and His beauty. And I think that's something to consider. But overall, what David is saying is, I want to gaze on the beauty of God. I want to think about His character. I want to think about the richness of His goodness and His favor. So when you're facing fears and uncertainties in life, maybe a good thing to do is just take a few minutes and start writing down, what do I know about God? What do I know about His character, who He is? What do I know about His goodness and His favor? Even the goodness and favor that He has shown to me in my life. And start dwelling and gazing, in a sense, on the beauty of the Lord. Because God is beautiful. When we think about it, that in the sense of who He is and His character and His goodness and the favor that He shows. And then he says that he wants to inquire in His temple. The word inquire is another word for meditate. And as he inquires, as he meditates about God in there. What does he say in verse 5? He says, he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will lift me high upon a rock. My head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. What are David's conclusions as he inquires in the presence of God? His conclusions are, God will protect me. My God will take care of me. My God will watch over me. He will lift me up. And then what does David say is going to be his response because of that? He says he will sing and make melody to the Lord. Think about in Acts 16, Paul and Silas, they're in prison because of preaching for God, preaching about Christ, preaching the gospel. And I think we would all say, you know, being in a dark, dungy prison, if you knew anything about what they were like back then, I mean, they were dark and dungy, cold, they're in stocks. They had all kinds of reasons to be fearful, didn't they? To be afraid, to be uncertain. Their life, are they going to die tonight? And what do? They sing. They rejoice in the Lord. And in part that led to the jailer's, the Philippian jailer's salvation. And we need to realize that in God's presence, fear can be replaced by rejoicing. Fear can be banished. If you just think about the songs we sang this morning, they were chosen for a purpose. Your name is a strong and mighty tower. Do we believe that? That God's name is a strong and mighty tower that will protect us? Behold our God. Nothing can compare. Do we believe we have a God that no one, nothing compares to Him? And we have a relationship with Him. He's on our side. Whom shall I fear? He's the God of angel armies. My soul finds rest in God alone. Though there's people out there that try to take advantage of me and consume me, my soul finds rest in God alone. In God's presence, fear is replaced by rejoicing, by that relationship with God. So, how do I gain that confidence in God? Well, by our focus, the one thing we focus on is being in the presence of God. And I think it's important to realize that you don't grow in confidence if you have a distant relationship with God. David did not have a distant relationship. His desire was to be with God in His presence. And that is what our desire needs to be if we're going to really be able to gain that confidence that we need to have in God. We can't have a long-term relationship or a long-distant relationship with God and then feel like He's perfectly near when we face our fear, when we have fears that we're facing. No, God will probably seem distant to us, not because He wanted to be distant, but because we have kept Him distant in our walk with Him. As Pastor Scott took us through the book of Colossians, what did we learn? We learned that Jesus is all we need, didn't we? That Jesus is the prize. That He's not, we don't use Jesus to get what we want, but He's enough, and we want to be in the presence of our God, of our Savior. And so if we want to have confidence in our God to where we can say He's our light, and He's our salvation, and He's our stronghold, as well as a lot of other qualities about God that we could list, we need to be focused. We need to be focused on developing a relationship with Him. This one thing that I will seek after. So how do we develop such a view of God? Well, we read His Word. We study His Word, don't we? We pray. We come to church and fellowship with each other where we can be encouraging each other to have that focus on God as we should. Because we need to be, instead of preoccupied with our fears and our uncertainties, we need to be preoccupied with the beauty of our God. Someone has made this statement that the attraction to fear and worry can only be broken by a stronger attraction. And that's an attraction to God and His presence and His beauty. If we want to break that, and I say attraction to fear because that's if fear is paralyzing us, if that's all we're thinking about is those fears and uncertainties we have in life, we have to break that. And the only way to really break that is to focus on one thing, the presence of God, His beauty, and what He can do for us. Now, as we come to verse 7, and maybe you even saw that or noted it as I read it, this is where it changes from that real confident type wording to more of a lament, where David is crying out to God in his desperation. So we've seen that we need to ask, what do I believe about God? We need to focus on being present with God. And then the third thing here is, as we look at verses 7 to 12, is that we need to cry out to God about desperation. When you look through those verses, what is David facing? It says that he is forsaken. My father and my mother have forsaken me. And just a note about that, there's different, you know, there's some different ideas as people think about, okay, was did David's mom and dad actually forsake him and like turn their back on him and walk away from him? That is a possibility. Another possibility is that the situation David is facing has gotten to the point that his mom and dad can do nothing about it. And so in that sense, they have forsaken him. They can't help him anymore because they have no power to. So it can be looked at either way. But he's forsaken. The enemies are around him. It's obvious there's false witnesses that have arisen against him. And there's intentions of violence. His enemies are breathing out violence against David. Again, you would, I think, agree. Yeah, those are reasons to be fearful. Those are reasons to be uncertain about what's going to happen next. And so we see here that David says in verse 7, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious to me and answer me." And David is making here some intense appeals to God. These are actually commands. In the Hebrew language, these are imperatives. God is David is commanding God. And you can say, ooh, should we do that? Well, understand, he's not doing it in a unrespectful way. He's just saying, he's coming to God and saying, God, I need you to do something, do something. Notice the words that he uses. He says, "Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud. Be gracious, have mercy. Answer me." That in verse 8, he says, "God, you've said to seek my face and my heart." Notice he uses the word heart there to try to say, this is coming from inside God. "My heart says to you, your face, Lord, do I seek." Remember, back in the book of Numbers, there's what we call the priestly blessing or the Aaronic blessing. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face to shine upon you. Why was that prayer given for Israel? Well, God's face shining upon them was a sign of God's blessing and God's favor. And that's what David is saying here. Lord, I seek your face. Give me your face, God. He says, "Do not hide your face from me. Turn not your servant away in anger, O you who have been my help." He says, "Cast me not off, forsake me not, O God of my salvation." Wouldn't you agree those are pretty intense appeals that the psalmist is making to God? Just wonder, do we ever come before God so intent, with such intensity, with such boldness? To where we are using words that come across as commands to God, and yet we're respectfully just saying, "God, I need you. I need you. I need to see your face. Don't hide." And notice how he says there in the end of verse 9, he says, "God of my salvation." David understood, God is the God of my salvation. He's my deliverer. If anyone's going to come through for me, it's going to be God. I need him. That was his perspective. And then David, as he goes on there, in verse 11, he calls out for mercy and he's desperate for help. And he says, God, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path. Protect me. Give me not up to the will of my adversaries. David wants, God, tell me what your way is. Teach me your way. I want to know it. Lead me to safety. Have there a level path has the idea of there's no obstacles. I can get where I need to go. And the enemy's desire is to breathe out violence against David, and David's desire is that he would learn God's ways and that God would protect him. So, remember how I mentioned at the beginning, you know, the Psalms help us, allow us to be honest, allow us to acknowledge that things are not always okay, and times of desperation are normal. We will have fears. We will have uncertainties. We will have desperation. And the question is, are we taking them to God as we have them? Are we looking to God for the help? And are you taking your desperation to God, a God that you believe in, a God whose presence you long for, a God where you have a relationship established, so it's very natural for you to go to God and to cry out to Him? And then, are you willing to be taught God's ways? I just find that interesting that, you know, David uses that expression there, because sometimes when we have fears and uncertainties, we want to solve them our own way, don't we? We don't really want to be taught God's ways, because God's ways may have some more pain and suffering involved in them. But David says, God, teach me your ways. Keep me on a level path. So I trust we can appreciate Psalms like this one. Because, you know, even David, as he can express great confidence in God, he also still acknowledges, there's still desperation, God. I need your help. God, I'm seeking you. Teach me your ways. And then the fourth thing we see as we come to verses 13 and 14 is that I resolve to wait expectantly for the Lord. In verse 13, David said, I believe that I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And then this last verse, he says, wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. When we're desperate, it's hard to wait, isn't it? Because we're desperate. God, do something. It's hard to wait. You know, we can talk about trusting God, but when it comes to waiting, we often jump ahead of God and try to fix it ourselves, don't we? Try to work it out ourselves. We might even give God advice as to how things should go. We will only wait if we believe what is coming is better than what we can find right now. We will only wait if we believe what is coming is better than what we can find right now. And we have to ask ourselves, do we really believe that what God's solution will be better than what I can work out myself? What did David say? He said, I believe I shall look upon the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. He was confident in his God to act in his time. And verse 14, it's almost like now David switches, and this is his last words of encouragement to his audience, to those who would he was there with and those who would read as we are now. What does he say? His encouragement then is to wait, to be strong, let your heart take courage, and to wait for the Lord. And the waiting there is not just a, you know, sort of twiddle your thumbs, oh, here I am, waiting. No, it's a waiting that is expectant, that God is going to do something, and it's a waiting that is, you know, continuing life, that is continuing a relationship with God. And we realize, as the psalmist, as David makes this statement, he had no more to go on than the assurance that God is worth waiting for. But that was enough. In other words, the problems weren't solved yet. The people were still breathing violence down his neck and so on. And yet David says, I will wait. And we have to ask ourselves, is God worth waiting for? Is he worth waiting for? Because waiting takes faith. And I like this definition that was given in this context about faith, that faith is the power which enables the faithful to endure the tension between present afflictions and the future deliverance from those afflictions. Faith is the power that enables the faithful to endure the tension between what you're facing now and the future deliverance that God will somehow, sometime bring, whatever his will is with that. And that's the type of faith we need to ask God for, to give us that the power to wait on him for what he wants, for what he will do. David's not trying to escape his difficult situation. His situation hasn't changed. His enemies are still there. But as he spends his life in the presence of God, his perspective changes. And I think that's what we need to learn from, is that it's as we spend time gazing on the beauty of the Lord that our perspective will change to where we can say with great confidence, the Lord is my light and my salvation. The Lord's a stronghold of my life. So, hopefully we understand we don't need to, and we should not, deny our fears. We should not deny the uncertainties we have. The psalm and other psalms, this Psalm 27, other psalms that we can go over, they give us permission to name our fears and to name the uncertainties. But David had trust in his God because he gazed upon the beauty of the Lord and understood who God was. And I think it's important to mention, as we come toward the close of the sermon here, you know, how do we have such confidence in God? And we need to understand that this confidence in God and our relationship with him begins today for us by understanding and trusting in the truth that you've been delivered from the darkness of sin and death through God's Son, Jesus Christ. That's so foundational for us to be able to say, yes, God is my light, he's my salvation, he's my stronghold, I am confident in him. Well, that confidence for us today begins by understanding and trusting in the truth that we've been delivered from the darkness of sin and death through God's Son, Jesus Christ. That Jesus Christ came to this earth to shine light on our desperate, hopeless situation. Because we understand that our sin required judgment, required eternity apart from God. But Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sin. And if we will acknowledge our sin and repent of our sin and accept God's gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, then we're no longer in the darkness, are we? We're no longer in the darkness of our sin, darkness of death. But we will abide in the light of Christ. We're delivered from our sin, and then we are protected by God's Holy Spirit who indwells us to one day usher us to heaven to spend eternity with God. And if there's anyone here today that would have to say, I really don't have that confidence. I don't have that confidence that I've been delivered from my sin and my death, then certainly we want to talk to you more about how you can be assured of that because of a relationship with Jesus Christ. But David had great confidence in his God, and we need to be people who have that great confidence and assurance in our God. And so as we face the fears and uncertainties in life, I respond by asking, what do I believe about God? And the one question you need to say, is God greater than my fears? If you say, yeah, for sure he is, well, why? Why is he greater than your fears? And then why do you have fears if God's greater than them? Whom shall I be afraid? David said, no one, because of my relationship with God. I face the fears and uncertainties in my life by responding, by focusing on being present with God. And I ask us the question, is my relationship with God strong enough to where I have complete confidence in him? Are you walking with God daily? Are you in his word? Are you practicing being in the presence of God, knowing that he's there with you? Is your relationship with God strong enough to where you have complete confidence in him? Are you pursuing your relationship, as we went through the book of Colossians, are you pursuing your relationship with Jesus Christ, that you are complete in him? I face my fears and uncertainties in life by crying out to God. Take your desperations to the Lord. He wants to hear them. God, you said to seek your face. Hear my cry. I'm seeking your face, God. I want to see your face. We need to take our desperations to the Lord and ask him, teach us your way. Teach me your ways, Lord. I want your way. And then we resolve. We are resolving to wait expectantly for the Lord. God, my confidence in you is in you. I know you will act, and I am waiting. And the question is God's light, God's deliverance, God's protection worth waiting for? And I trust we would say, for sure it is. For sure it is. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Let's pray together. Father God, the psalmist certainly had a great confidence in you amidst great fear and uncertainty in life. And I pray that you'd help us, each of us, as we face different fears and uncertainties in our life, to be people who think about you, to be able to just sort of list off what do we believe about you and your character and your goodness, that we'd be walking in a relationship with you. And then, Lord, that we would cry out to you. Lord, not cry out to other people, not cry out in anger, but cry out to you, desperate for your help. And Lord, that we would then wait on you, confident that in your time you will respond and act in appropriate ways. And Father, may we say with the psalmist today that you are our salvation, that you are the one who delivers. You've given us life in Christ. You've delivered us from our fear of sin and death. And now you will deliver us in your time from just the other uncertainties and fears that we face in our life. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.